When I was invited to come and take part in this program, I thought it would be very nice, like a double header, because in addition to the installation of Gaur Nittai, there's a Bhagavatam installation. So when we go upstairs, here's the schedule. Some katha, some interaction questions. While we're doing that, the deities are being dressed, an offering is being made, and then we'll go upstairs and have arti for the deities. And then we'll come downstairs and take prasadam, because there's much bigger space up down here. And there it's going to be very crowded arti. But they have a balcony and a third floor and a fourth floor. Big staircase. And I remember one program on a Christmas Day or something like that. There were at least 5,000 people in this house. All over the place. So that's our schedule. But it's not just thinking a little bit more. It's not just double header, but at least four, according to Rupa Goswami's teachings. There are 64 items of devotional service. I'm sure we're covering many of them, but of the 64, five are principal, and two of them are these two: deity worship, hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we'll be doing in a minute, chanting Hare Krishna, which we've been doing, and associating with and serving the Vaishnavas, which we're doing also. So all we need now is a sacred place. But where the worship of Krishna or Lord Chaitanya and kirtan and Krishna katha and Vaishnav sangha, that place becomes sanctified like a holy place. So these are the five most potent of all activities of devotion for achieving our goal. And what's our goal? To become awakened again to the state of love of God. It's said by Rupa Goswami, any one of these five, what to speak of, you add another one or four of them, any one of them, if there's always an if or a but, if done without offense, oh, then that's sufficient to bring one to the stage of spontaneous love for Krishna, bhava bhakti and prema bhakti, immediately. Unfortunately, we're offensive, so we continue to chant and continue to worship and continue to try to serve the devotees and continue to hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and carefully try to avoid offenses. So because this is a Bhagavatam installation in the family's home, Tyagi's home, as well as Gaur Nittai, I was inspired by some dialogue I was having with Ananda Vrindavan Mataji on the topic of hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam and the verses from this sixth chapter of the first canto, where Narada is describing to Vyasadev the merit of hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam. And just before describing the merit of hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, or hearing the message of Krishna, he contrasts the complete waste of time and worse, the pollution and contamination of consciousness of hearing the rubbish literature and sex songs of the modern age. just dirties and pollutes one's consciousness, and it's abundant. I was thinking about these verses on the way here, on the plane, as looking around the plane to see what people were doing, and rubbish literatures and sex songs, and video games, and, you know, grown-up adults just playing little video games with the little guys, and, you know, solitaire, and mind dullers and wasters. And one little girl, she was sitting there doing, developing her IQ, distinguishing this from that, and the little books they have for children that help them become a little more thoughtful. That was nice in comparison to what all the others were doing. I want to read a little bit from Srimad Bhagavatam. Something that's very nice to do when there isn't such a number of persons is take a passage from the Bhagavatam and pass the book around and have everybody read a paragraph. We'd be here till Mangal Arati tomorrow morning. I'm just going to read a little bit. Look at that, it just opened to the exact page. Canto 1, Chapter 5, text number 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 This is Narada speaking and addressing the personality of Godhead incarnate, the literary incarnation of the Lord. This is very elevated a company. It starts, Nayad Vachas Chitrapadam Harir Yasho. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, which alone can sanctify the atmosphere, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. So as you're hearing this, I'm going to be picturing sitting on the plane and watching people do exactly what it's advising not to do. And perhaps you can also think of whatever are the time wasters this way or that way, or that because it's so abundantly around us, what's the result of allowing attention to go there and checking it out or dabbling or whatever? Crows and swans are not birds of the same feather. You know what is a crow? You've seen a crow before? Okay, there he goes. Underneath the rug. Sorry, I won't ask you another thing. Because of their different mental attitudes. The fruitive workers or passionate men are compared to the crows, whereas the all-perfect saintly persons are compared to the swans. The crows take pleasure in a place where garbage is thrown out, just as the passionate fruitive workers take pleasure in wine and women and places for gross sense pleasure. The swans do not take pleasure in the places where crows are assembled for conferences and meetings. a crow conference. Some garbage heap, and there they are. There's a lot of them in Juhu. Because I was in Juhu for about 3 weeks. And the room where they have me stay is those towers of the guest house. And it's really nice because you can look out over the ocean and see the sunrise, at least for the room where I'm staying, see the sunrise. And at a certain time, it's every day at a certain time in relation to the sun, the crows come out and they sit right outside the window and make that sound. Won't imitate the sound. I heard it for 3 weeks. And you go, and they look at you and stick their tongue out and just curl louder. And then another guy comes and sits next to him. And they have a crow chorus from this tree to that rooftop and on that line of that telephone wire, and have their crow conference. They are instead seen in an atmosphere, swans are seen in an atmosphere of natural scenic beauty, where there are transparent reservoirs of water, nicely decorated with stems of lotus flowers and variegated colors of natural beauty. That is the difference between the two classes of birds. Next paragraph, one sentence long. Nature has influenced different species of life with different mentalities, and it is not possible to bring them up into the same rank and file. Paragraph. Similarly, there are different kinds of literature for different kinds of men of different mentality. Mostly the market literatures, which attract men of the crows category, are literatures containing refused remnants of sensuous topics. They are generally known as mundane talks in relation with the gross body and subtle mind. They are full of subject matter, described in decorative language, full of mundane similes and metaphoric arrangements. Yet, with all that, they do not glorify the Lord. Such poetry and prose, or any subject matter, is considered decoration of a dead body. Spiritually advanced men who are compared to the swans do not take pleasure in such dead literatures, which are sources of pleasure for men who are spiritually dead. These literatures, in the modes of passion and ignorance, are distributed under different labels, but they can hardly help the spiritual urge of the human being, and thus the swan-like, spiritually advanced men have nothing to do with them. Such spiritually advanced men are called manasa because they always keep up the standard of transcendental voluntary service to the Lord on the spiritual plane. This completely forbids fruitive activities for gross bodily sense gratification or subtle speculation on the material egoistic mind. And then he goes further describing those literatures. The next verse is a very important verse. It's such an important verse that in the preface to Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada included it. One verse out of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam describing the undertaking that he was doing when writing his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary. Tadvagvasarga janata agha viplava is the beginning. On the other hand, that literature, which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, are a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Even the translation is so poetic sounding. During the month of Kartik, in our temples all over the world, we sing the Damodarastakam song every night, and then we read translations. There's a translation that Srila Prabhupada made that I don't know which one, because we have devotees from different places, so I'm just going to say that there's one that Prabhupada made that was, it's so poetic. There's another one that's very literal, and it's like eating sawdust. It just doesn't have the same flavor and sweetness and pleasantness. So having heard Prabhupada's translation for so long, when I hear that other one, it's please in the future use this translation. It's so nice. And Prabhupada's writing, one of the 26 qualities of a Vaishnav is kavi or poetic. Just by the gift of their attraction to Krishna, to describe Krishna, becomes so pleasing to the ear. When Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was residing in Vrindavan, one of his main services was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And he would recite, just as Raghunath Das Goswami recited the glories of Lord Chaitanya, for several hours every day. Could you imagine sitting and hearing even 5 minutes, what to speak of several hours every day at Radhakund, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, from the mouth of Raghunath Das Goswami, every day. Every day, every day. And in that audience was Krishnadas. Nice name. Krishnadas became Krishnadas Kaviraj. And Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote in very poetic language the pastimes that he heard from Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he recited Srimad Bhagavatam every day for several hours. And each verse that he recited, he sang. And he sang in 3 or 4 different meters, each verse. And his voice was so sweet. It is said, I have a painting on my office wall that shows some cuckoo birds sitting on the branch of a tree, listening to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami singing the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, because he sang so sweetly. Cuckoos are poetically used as the one who sang so sweetly like a cuckoo bird, but the cuckoo birds are listening to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami sing Srimad Bhagavatam. And so many other devotees who came to hear, to drink the nectar of the transcendental narrations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which, when heard, this verse is saying, they're meant to bring about a viplava. There's plava and viplava, an explosion, a revolution. Prabhupada was a quiet revolutionary. He was a revolutionary. But he didn't occupy Wall Street or any of those kinds of things. Bomb people. He had a different kind of, a quiet, but he saw the problem and he wanted to address the problem. And he used the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it created a revolution from those that properly heard and chanted that message that he gave. Let me read a little bit from the poetic transcendental purport of Srila Prabhupada. The first part is a very humble statement about his disqualification or lack of qualification to properly glorify the personality of Godhead. It's a humble expression. He writes, "It is a qualification of the great thinkers to pick up the best even from the worst. It is said that the intelligent man should pick up nectar from a stock of poison, should accept gold from even a filthy place, should accept a good and qualified wife even from an obscure family, and should accept a good lesson even from a man or from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. These are some of the ethical instructions," Chanakya Pandit's statements, "for everyone in every place without exception. But a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord, because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. And as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. While preparing," then he speaks of the China-India conflagration at that time, that for over nothing, two big nations fighting over something uninhabitable. Over this, and this is Kali Yuga, and what to do? Due to the polluted atmosphere of this age, due to the age of quarrel Kali, as which we have discussed, there is always a chance of quarrel over slight provocation. This is not due to the issue in question, but to the polluted atmosphere of the age. Systematically, there is propagation by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord. And that's in italics. Are you aware that in Russia today, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is on trial? For those of you that don't know, the Russian government, receiving complaints from the Russian Orthodox Church, have a team of persons studying Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. But their purpose is to find it, I don't know what the word is, unfit literature to be circulated, counter-government literature to be circulated, some kind of thing like that. And it's not light, it's serious, that the powers that be, and we have some idea of the spirit of those powers in Russia, they would like to see, that the Russian Orthodox Church in particular would like to see no competition. And to whatever degree the Hare Krishna movement is strong in Russia, there is problem. Because we're strong, so they would like to see us eliminated. And then the path of elimination is to call the book banned. And that means the followers of the book are also banned. That's like one, two. That's the attempt. But they're directly attacking Srila Prabhupada through the commentary of Bhagavad Gita. I don't know particularly what approach they're taking. It's inviting war and conflagration, and therefore it's dangerous literature, so it should be banned. Maybe that's the approach. So, that's in italics. Systematically, there's propagation by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. When issues like this would arise, two things from Prabhupada's time, he would become like fire. He didn't take it lightly. He took it very seriously. But at the same, so he, very fiery action, and I can tell you that there are devotees who are working very, very closely with scholars from around the world, government leaders from around the world, particularly within India, because India and Russia have a long time had very strong relation, governmental ties and cultural ties. The other statement that Prabhupada made was that our Hare Krishna movement can never be harmed from the outside, only from within. So on the, that was the other side. It's not going to be effective. The Chandkazis and the Hiranyakashipus and the people like that, they can't stop the glorification of the Supreme Lord. It can't happen. For some time there may be something, but it can't be effective. It's in the hearts of the devotees, and the books are there, and so forth. It can't be stopped. Some challenge and meet the challenge. So there, our prayers should be with them, that Krishna gives them the intelligence, the strength, the ability, the resources, everything needed to be victorious in this challenge, and come out on the other side stronger. But from that kind of a exchange, it makes the devotee even more determined when there's obstacle and difficulty. And where we, in the Western countries, don't have that obstacle, that freedom that we have, we should very enthusiastically and vigorously take the opportunity given to us to broadcast this message far and wide, both in the written form, in the book itself, and the discussions that we have. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them something about Krishna. In this way, save the land. This is Lord Chaitanya's instructions to householders. I see a few householders in the audience. Take the message and present the message. It can be done in a simple form, or it can be done in a more comprehensive form, but somehow or another, that be carrying that in your heart, and someone comes in contact with you, is going to come out with discrimination, how, time, place, circumstance, but let it come out. Because otherwise, what's the destiny of those persons that are devoid of that understanding, that subject matter, that sound vibration? There's going to be another sound vibration, another understanding, another destination. Thoughtful persons, devotees are thoughtful persons. Consider like that and let me do something. I'm small, insignificant, but let me do something to help. And Prabhupada makes that appeal in this section of the Bhagavatam. To those who are hearing this message, please assist me. We are confident that if the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam is received only by the leading men of the world, certainly there will be a change of heart, and naturally the people in general will follow them. The mass of people in general are tools in the hand of the modern politicians and leaders of the people. If there is a change of heart of the leaders only, certainly there will be radical change in the atmosphere of the world. We know that our honest attempt to present this great literature conveying transcendental messages for reviving the God consciousness of the people in general and re-spiritualizing the whole atmosphere is fraught with difficulties. he describes again his deficiencies, that English is not his primary language, so on and so on. But this humble attempt is with sincere effort, under the authorization of his spiritual master, please accept the essence and overlook whatever flaws and defects and those kinds of things are here. Because the potency will be conveyed. And because this occasion is installing Krishna, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different, the literary form of Krishna, according to Padma Puran, in detail, it describes, just like the when Gaura-Nitai deities were brought out, they're very beautiful, huh? So beautiful. And the Bhagavatam is also so beautiful. And the Padma Purana describes darshan from the lotus feet of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the legs of Srimad Bhagavatam and the waist and the chest and the shoulders and the neck and the beautiful smiling face and the forehead. Just like that, like it's Didi Darshan. It is. It's the literary form of the Lord. So there are verses in other scriptures other than the Srimad Bhagavatam itself that glorify the Bhagavatam in this way, that one who keeps this Bhagavat Purana in their home, on their shelf, their house becomes sanctified. Just put one on your shelf. What to speak of, take it off your shelf. And Shrinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantaksto Yabhadrani Vituno Ti Saritatam Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtuki. Very powerful verses. Regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and regularly serving the personalities who are carrying into the world the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Though both Bhagavat Seva in the form of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Seva in the form of serving the persons, the Bhagavat personalities, those who are living the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Great service is done, great piety is spiritual piety, not the other kind. Spiritual piety is accrued by that. And the impious lives of persons of this world will progress from that dark to the light position. Even in this dark age of Kali, the Srimad Bhagavatam brings the light, and that's the switch to turn the light on in the dark age. Vibrate the message. Receive the message. Give the message to others. So it's a very wonderful, I've been looking forward to this. The Tyagi family have written me so many letters planning all this and getting very excited. It's very wonderful. Krishna and Gaura-Nitai coming to their home. So, how are we doing upstairs? Are the deities ready for Aarti?
Yes, 5 more minutes.
5 more minutes. Okay, so any... any discussion? Questions? Sure.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I was reading in the Bhagavatam last night, towards the end of the fourth canto, Srila Prabhupada, over several verses, describes that a neophyte shouldn't preach. And then he goes on to explain that everyone should actually be preaching.
Oh.
And so, and over these verses, and I just asked, you know, an hour earlier in Bhagavad Gita class about this subject, bottom line is, we're not being self-reliant, not even being close. Where does that part of our... how much of our sadhana should preaching take up? What do we have to deliver when we're not?
Oh, that's a different question.
Well,
there's two different questions. How much of our sadhana should be preaching, and if we're not in the realized position, what are we going to be delivering? Those are two different questions. Seated on the Vyasasan, Prabhupada spoke like this. I may be a fool, but if I repeat the words of a perfect person, my speaking is perfect. And from the very beginning, practically speaking, Prabhupada engaged his young, untrained, practically uncivilized American boys and girls in preaching Krishna consciousness. And it was in the Hare Krishna explosion happened. Of course, Prabhupada was there, but the instruments were his young American boys and girls, the disciples. So without, as you describe, so far from self-realization, just carrying the message forward. And as Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj said, this will be good for you and good for them at the same time, so for us. Good for whatever it is that we present, however imperfectly, just as the verse describes. Because the purpose is to repeat the words of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and our spiritual master, our founder, Acharya. Good for them, good for us. We're becoming purified by that. You can look at it that way. It's simply, it's part of our purification to do that service, however imperfectly. And at the same time, others are receiving benefit because the message is the right message, as long as we don't do any editing, leaving things out, changing things, twisting things, and so forth. It's okay. Someone else had their hand up. Yes.
I was just thinking, the Bhagavatam is the literary form of the Lord. So, we've heard every word of the Bhagavatam is transcendental. And I try to appreciate it that way, but for all of our benefit, maybe you could share your perspective on how we can really, for lack of a better term, milk or, you know, get the Krishna essence out of all the verses, since there's such a variety of topics that are covered, and they may seem to be unrelated sometimes to Krishna, or they may seem to be not even spiritual, maybe, if you don't have the right perspective.
I have a very different experience. my experience is, ooh, that's my experience. Maybe it's a matter of faith, that I just, I feel very, very, very safe and happy and uplifted, meaning cleansed and purified, just by contact with the Bhagavatam. From experience, there are times, perhaps earlier, as a newer devotee, reading things, you know, something like what you just described. What does this have to do with the bigger picture of the message of the Bhagavatam? Why is this in the Bhagavatam? Why is this subject matter being presented? But trusting it nonetheless, just wondering how it fits in. Over a period of time, it fits in without big elaboration, and perhaps more intellectually, I can say that I've become convinced like that. But even more spiritually, just from contact with with Srimad Bhagavatam over a period of time, certainly along with chanting of the holy name, but like with the chanting of the holy name, just experiencing the world, feeling feelings completely differently. A whole shift of consciousness just from the simple activity of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just see the world differently, experience things differently, feel different feelings, understand things in a very clearly illuminated perspective as opposed to a dark perspective or a speculative perspective or a, you know, twisted out of shape perspective. And it's not me, it's the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam just... So, how to read the Bhagavatam is with that kind of trust and feeling safe and just try to appreciate. I may understand, as Prabhupada said about hearing from Bhaktisiddhanta, sometimes I understood, sometimes I didn't understand. But I would sit and listen faithfully. So if you hit some spots in the Bhagavatam where that's the case, as you described, continue hearing anyways. And it'll become more clear why this and how this fits in with that and, you know, those intellectual things that satisfy us, that's really not the essence of what the Bhagavatam is anyways. The essence of the Bhagavatam is spiritual rejuvenation. And there's a purpose by the author of Vyasadeva in that spiritual rejuvenation of each verse and each word, each part of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it may not register to our conscious awareness as we're going along. Continue to read anyway, faithfully, and that understanding will come, and that appreciation will come.